This is Scott for Gwen of KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. We are returning to folks engaged in the Troops Home Fast in Washington, D.C., and we have on the line Gail Murphy, who is the co-founder of Code Pink. She's in Washington, D.C. Hello, Gail.
Hi.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm good.
Good. Well, I know you all have been very busy. It's the 27th day of the fast for some of the folks, and a lot has been going on. And I think let's try to update everybody on where you're at. Start wherever you want.
Well, as you said, it's the 27th day, and for the most part, folks are in good shape, feeling relaxed in their fast, getting more relaxed. We started out the fast doing quite a few actions. In fact, every Sunday morning we were doing protests in front of the mainstream TV stations for the Sunday morning programs. Whenever there's a guest, you know, if it's Bremer or Condi Rice or someone worth targeting, then we can go out front and make ourselves visible, and often there are other outlets that will send reporters, and they'll try to do press conferences outside. So it's an opportunity to get some more media on the fast and on the efforts we've been putting to try to end this occupation. But we're slowing down on the actions a bit. I think we had quite a busy week last week, and folks are just tired. It's very hot in Washington. It's been in the 90s and very humid. So I think this weekend has been a little bit more laying low, being at the White House, and regrouping for next week, which is going to be both physically and mentally challenging as we travel to Jordan. But everyone's in good shape, good spirits, and it's quite a community that we've built here in Washington.
Well, let's come back to the Jordan trip here a little bit later. I first would like to hear more about, well, it's a well-deserved rest because we've got five folks from your group were arrested in front of the White House. Was that Friday?
Friday. Prime Minister Blair came to Washington to meet with Bush, and so we took it as an opportunity to let him know that Americans continue to be against this occupation, as are most Brits. And he did a press conference on Friday morning with George Bush, so five of the fasters, Colonel Ann Wright, Father Louis Vital, and Diane Wilson, Eve Tetaz, who is a resident of D.C., and Martha Odom, who is a resident of Portland and a long-term faster, decided to sit down in front of the west gate of the White House and block Prime Minister Blair in until he and Bush come up with an exit plan. Of course, that didn't work as we'd planned, but it did get a great story in the Washington Post and a beautiful picture of Diane towering over the White House. It attracted a lot of passersby. The White House during the summer is always full of tourists, so it's a real opportunity to put the message out there and to educate people about what we're doing and about the war and update them on the billions of dollars that we're wasting and the lives that are being lost and what they can do about it. We had everyone pull out their cell phones and call their members of Congress and register their opposition, and actually quite a few people did pull out their cell phones. So they sat in front of the West Gate, refusing to move for about an hour, and then the police rounded them up and cuffed them individually, and then put them in a paddy wagon, took them down to the Park Police headquarters, and they spent, wasn't too long, about 4 hours waiting and being processed, and then we picked them up and went straight to every Friday we also participate in a an ice cream service for the homeless in Washington at the Mitch Snyder Center for Creative Nonviolence. And then from there, after serving the ice cream, we went to our weekly Walter Reed vigil. So Friday was a full day, and everyone went home pretty tired that night.
Well, part of last week, of course, was another prime minister, although probably not not one that's as recognized as Tony Blair, certainly, but the prime minister of the government in Iraq, Maliki, and some activities around him, including what led up to this trip to Jordan. Can you fill us in on how that transpired?
Well, as soon as we heard about the prime minister's visit to Washington, we decided we really did want to reach out to him in some manner. And so we drafted a letter, which we delivered both through the ambassador from Iraq to the United States, as well as publishing it in a leading newspaper in Baghdad. And the letter was requesting an urgent meeting with the anti-war movement to talk about alternatives, specifically to talk about the reconciliation plan that's been under discussion among Iraqi leadership within the parliament. And we did manage to speak with the ambassador three times to try to get this meeting, and we quote-unquote camped out in front of the Iraqi embassy. We created Camp al-Maliki, and on Monday we stood out there, Tuesday we stood out there. We were close to getting a meeting on Tuesday, but unfortunately we were duped. Not surprising, I guess, when you have a U.S.-appointed Iraqi ambassador and a nearly U.S.-appointed prime minister, that they wouldn't ultimately be interested in meeting with us. But we did try. And so the refusal of a meeting inspired Medea to still send the message directly to him through the when the prime minister was speaking to a joint session in Congress. So she was able to get into the speech and at the appropriate time stood up and very clearly said what the Iraqis want is bring the troops, get us to bring the troops home and to get out of Iraq. So she was quickly escorted out and detained and charged with disrupting Congress.
Disrupting Congress. Okay. Did she spend the night in jail? People have actually been asking me this.
She did not.
Okay.
No.
Good.
We were able to get her out, later that evening.
Well, so obviously that, you always wonder whether the actions you take are actually being, especially in these days, whether they're being picked up by the media and people are hearing about it in other ways. And it's obviously in some way inspired or caught the attention of some members of the Iraqi parliament. Is that right?
That's correct. We have been in touch with them. In fact, we've been working on trying to get one of them to come to the United States in September to be able to speak with Congress and with the anti-war movement. And this is a member of parliament who is president of a party that holds some 10 to 15 seats, so an important member. So in hearing what happened, and they had seen the letter in the in the Iraqi paper and knew that we were trying to meet with the prime minister and then saw that it really wasn't happening and that we were pretty rudely treated, and then understanding that we were fasting, were quite concerned. So there is a meeting that's been going on in Cairo on reconciliation, and a number of the members are coming through Amman, Jordan, on their way back to Baghdad, and suggested that we come and talk about the reconciliation plan with them, as well as break our fast. And you know, they really were concerned about the fact that we were on a hunger strike and felt that the reconciliation plan discussion was a good reason to break the fast because we could figure out a new level of mutual interaction to try and see if we can promote the plan both in the United States and among the Iraqi leadership. So that's why we're going to Jordan, to sit down and explore more about the reconciliation plan, the status, what the Iraqis intend to do with it at this point. Because the plan was presented by al-Maliki, but without some significant elements that were controversial for the Bush administration. Namely, it included a demand from the people for a timetable for the complete withdrawal of U.S. troops, and that is not a point that the Bush administration is interested in talking about. Mm-hmm. So it was taken out, and basically it gutted the reconciliation plan, and so it's, as far as its official presentation, is somewhat in a limbo.
Mm-hmm.
And so the purpose of the, of our visit would be to go and talk about the points that were eliminated and to see how we might promote them, sort of circumventing the administration.
Mm. So this is, when is this scheduled meeting? In
it is, we're going to meet with them on Friday and Saturday of next week. We'll leave for Jordan on Wednesday night and then have 2 days of meetings with them. And we're considering going on to Beirut to see what's going on. We're just trying to get a sense of how safe that'll be.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted to travel overland through Syria because it's not possible to fly in.
Mm-hmm.
But yesterday we heard that the Israelis had bombed the Syrian-Lebanese border again, and so crossing the border may be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
There is a way in through the north, so we're still looking at that possibility. But our focus is really to meet with these members of parliament in Amman and take it from there. And we're recruiting journalists and academics and members of Congress or their staff to come with us.
Mm.
It's very short notice, but we feel that that kind of representation along with us is important.
Okay, well, so that anybody who's thinking that the folks in Code Pink and others that you're taking might be neophytes in this, you know, what are these people doing in engaging in the, you know, really the diplomatic process? You folks have, many of you have been to the Middle East before and have been engaged in this whole process for quite some time. I mean, it's an astounding thing, actually. A civilian organization and people, organizations, individuals engaging in this process in a time that it seems to be desperately needed, because
mm-hmm.
diplomacy is it's almost like diplomacy is a four-letter word. I don't know how I could shrink that down, but it's so it's an astounding, it's an amazing accomplishment, and hats off. I'm sure there's a lot of us will be waiting to see and hear how this goes.
Well, it's been a strategy of Code Pink since before the war, and started with a delegation that we put together in February before the invasion. We went to Iraq and wanted to make sure that the Iraqis knew that there was an opposition to the impending or the threat of war in Iraq, that many Americans were against Bush's talk of invasion. And shortly after the war, as soon as we could, we went back to Iraq and established an occupation watch center, knowing that we wouldn't be getting an accurate picture of what was going on in terms of the occupation or post-invasion and the impact of the invasion and the laws that Bremer was laying down, etc., that we wouldn't get a real picture from mainstream media. So we felt it was important to go to Baghdad, establish contacts, and have independent, both Iraqis and international folks, doing information collection and sending back reports, and we set up a website. So it's really been a strategy of ours for since the beginning to be in direct contact with Iraqi people and civil society in Iraq to balance out what is going on between the Bush administration and the puppet government that it's created there. So we've taken military families to Iraq to meet with the Iraqi general counsel before elections. We organized delegations of academics, labor union leaders, peace activists. It's been people-to-people contact has been really a main activity of ours. So this is really an extension of that. And, you know, we look at how the U.S. is dealing diplomatically with the situation in Lebanon.
Mm-hmm.
We really don't have a lot of faith that our government is going to do what's necessary to really explore all the possibilities for peace in Iraq. And because the reconciliation plan is such a significant development, we just do not want the Bush administration to subvert that, and we'll do whatever we need to reach out and to try to find alternative paths and ways of being able to communicate with the Iraqis about this and to get as many members of Congress interested, at least knowing about it. I mean, just reaching out to members of Congress about the reconciliation plan, it's amazing how many of them aren't even aware of it. And I think that that's unconscionable, given that we're at war, you know, spending billions of dollars, losing lives daily, that we don't have that kind of information for our members to be able to weigh in and decide what's a good strategy. And it also gives the impression to Americans that the Iraqis aren't doing anything for their own, you know, in pursuit of their own peace.
Mm-hmm.
So
what is the best way for folks to keep up on this trip and the aftermath of the trip, as well as the ongoing fast?
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll be the long-term fasters. We're going to be inviting those who go to Baghdad. Will be breaking their fast with the members of Parliament, and we're inviting all of the long-term fasters to join us in a coordinated meal, but we also will be asking people to continue to fast, rolling fast once a week, however people want to set it up, because it has proven to be a useful tactic in shifting our energy and kind of deepening and clarifying our work. So we aren't giving up the fast, even though those of us who've been fasting long term are going to break the fast. We feel it's important to keep putting out that possibility and blogging. People will be sending us and have been sending us on a regular basis what they're doing locally and how they're organizing their fast locally.
Mm-hmm.
And the trip to Jordan will certainly be doing report backs and blogging about it. And we hope that an outcome of the trip will be next steps. Might be that more members of Parliament can come to the U.S. or might be interested in coming to the U.S. to meet with civil society in the U.S. And we hope that maybe we can find partners to organize a larger meeting on reconciliation and a peace process in Iraq, and that it will be a fruitful process.
Okay, so is the troopshomefast.org the...
Troopshomefast.org is our website, and you can get to it through the CodePinkAlert.org site or go directly to Troops Home Fast. It's possible. We post every day news about what we're doing, and that's a way for people to know, or they can email us. Hopefully we'll be getting media coverage, so hopefully people will be reading about it in their local newspapers through AP Wires or other. So we're going to certainly make it an important part of our trip to get the news out about what we're doing, whether we provide it or whether it happens through the mainstream media.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to shift gears on you a little bit here and ask you a question that I think it may be impossible to answer, but I have had the privilege of talking to, over the last year actually, several times with some folks that are military families speak out, and also some Gold Star family members, and I've had the occasion to talk to both these people, actually two sets of these folks, just in the last week and a half, and both are feeling the same thing, and that is actually very down and depressed. One of the families had just come back, just was in Washington, D.C. doing lobbying and so on, and they were basically kind of down just from the response they were getting from Congress, that they couldn't believe the kinds of things some of the congressional people are saying to them and the lack of commitment in Congress to work to end this war. And I know that's one of the focuses of this fast, is to try to get somebody to step forward and take this. Do you have any comments on that?
Well, it has been really depressing the last couple of weeks. The attack on Lebanon, Lebanese civilians, and the silence on the part of the U.S., tacit support of Israel and their disproportionate response has been very depressing to see. And it's scary as we watch Israel bomb closer and closer and closer to the Syrian border. So, yeah, it's been really a downer for all of us, I think. But, you know, we just have to keep pressing forward. And Code Pink participates in the legislative working group of United for Peace and Justice, our national anti-war coalition. Mm-hmm. And we are trying to mobilize the grassroots to increase their networking locally and to use the FAST to approach their district offices. All of the members are back home for the next month, and senators will be going home next week. So it's an opportunity to go and see them in their home districts and in their states and keep the pressure up. You know, they're going to be campaigning. If they're not talking about Iraq, we should be pressuring them into talking about Iraq. If they're talking about Iraq but not talking about pulling out, we should make sure that that's highlighted. So the pressure is going to keep going. There are people who are fasting. I believe there's a fast in Feinstein's, near Feinstein's office. Mm-hmm. And others have chosen their district offices to do their public fasting.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we're going to keep the pressure up. We're also, as part of the fast, collecting signatures for the Voters for Peace campaign,
mm-hmm.
where folks pledge not to vote for a candidate who's not actively doing something to get us out of Iraq. And I think all of our combined efforts, military families, Iraq vets, AFS, the American Friends Service Committee, Peace Action, After Downing Street, Code Pink, we're all working together, I think, to mobilize the grassroots as much as possible during this campaign season and keep Iraq as a main issue. There was a poll recently done by Move On that shows that Iraq is of number one concern to voters. So we want to make sure that voters know if they're having elections in their district, what the positions are of their candidates, and to keep putting pressure on them to talk about Iraq and to make their positions known so people can make the best choice.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's been depressing, but, you know, it's also a tipping point. I think that the Bush administration is in big trouble over Iraq, and as every day more news shows that the stay the course strategy really isn't a strategy, it's a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And so the anti-war movement and anyone who cares about getting out of Iraq is in a better position to convince people around them and to put pressure on their representatives, the people that they have hired to do the job for them and to represent them. And Congress, it's true, has not done a good job representing the will of the people. The other depressing thing is that the resolutions and the bills that have been introduced have really been stymied by the Republican majority.
Mm-hmm.
And with just, you know, these waning weeks as Congress heads into recess, there hasn't been a lot of work that we could do. We put our best efforts forward on the 543 to try to get a decent debate, and what did we get? We got a sham debate.
Right.
The bills that people like McGovern and Thompson and even Murtha have put forward can't even get on the floor. But, you know, we can't quit. It's mm-hmm. too important. Too many lives are at stake, and we need to stop this. It isn't elected officials who change policy, it's people, so we just have to keep up the pressure in every way we can, and that's through the media, through letters, through visits to district offices, and just keep doing what we're doing and try to do more, because we are close to pressuring this administration into changing its policy.
Well, you folks continue to be inspirational, and while you're talking, I'm thinking, wouldn't it be an amazing thing if we could somehow broker a peace proposal, a peace deal between the Iraqi people and the U.S. peace movement?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what we're heading to Jordan
yes.
to try to launch, absolutely.
And that's, you know, anybody who says to me that, which has been said to me a few times, fasting, hunger strikes, what good will that do? I think we're getting an indication that it can have some impact right now.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe sooner than anybody would have expected, really.
Yeah. Well, I think it's made us more creative. It's made us more focused, and it's shift. There's definitely been a shift, you know,
mm-hmm.
and we're We may be physically a bit weaker, mm-hmm. but in terms of conviction, we're definitely stronger, and that is taking us two steps forward.
Well, as I said, it's inspiring, and we'll keep in touch and keep trying to get the word out of what's happening, and I'll let you know that we have a rolling fast going in our small town here of 9,000 people. We're able to, at this point, you know, have at least one person fasting, we hope, to all the way through September 21st, as the Troops Home Fast is doing in D.C. and elsewhere.
Well, that's great, and please send us news of it so we can post it, and so that you can inspire other folks who go to the troopshome.org site.
Will do.
And photos are nice, too.
Okay. All right. We'll see if we can find somebody with a camera. You know, there's not many cameras in this small town. Yeah, right. Okay. Well, again, thank you for taking time with me this morning, Gail.
Well, thank you for all the work you do.
Well, right back at you. And have a, well, hopefully you have maybe a little bit of a quiet week leading up to going to Jordan, but we'll... good luck in preparation.
We can sleep on the plane.
All right, yes. So are you going to, are folks going to eat when they get to Jordan, or are you going to break the fast before that?
No, we're going to break the fast in Jordan with the Iraqis.
Okay, so
yeah. And we'll let everybody know so that those who want to break the fast with us can know when we're doing it. They're about 7 hours ahead of us,
okay.
In the East Coast, so... maybe folks, while we're having dinner, can have breakfast.
All right. Sounds good. And I know that there's some concern about some of your folks that are just on water
right. This
whole time. So mm-hmm. let's we'll all put them in our thoughts and help them hold on here for the next five or plus days.
Right.
Okay.
Great.
Well, thanks again.
Thank you so much.
Have a good Sunday in Washington, D.C.
Thank you. You
okay.
too.
Bye, Gail.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye.
I was speaking with Gail Murphy, who is a co-founder of Code Pink. She's in Washington, D.C., participating in the Troops Home Fast. You can get more information on the Troops Home Fast and other activities of Code Pink and other organizations by going to troopshomefast.org.